You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Back here with my buddy Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, how's it going?
It is going not too bad, Vince. I ended yesterday's show by saying hopefully we'll have some good news to share on our next episode, and we almost kind of do.
Yeah, lo and behold, we did get some good news, and then, you know, became not as great news, but in general, good news overall.
Progress, if nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. Progress. So we're going to get into that, and then we're going to get into a little bit of some talk around the DH based on what's been reported so far. But before we do all that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers, wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so John Heyman reported earlier on Wednesday that Manfred and Tony Clark had a meeting, that they were close to an agreement, and it looked like baseball in 2020 was going to be on. It was later refuted slightly, in a sense, you know, that they weren't close, but that they were talking. And basically, at the end of the day, they're, you know, MLB sent another proposal. The players have their proposal back. They're basically just hammering out the details. At this point, it appears like it's on a track to get done. So that's a good thing, Jeff. You know, go ahead and get it started wherever you want to get it started.
Yeah, it's progress for sure. And they're the whole thing has made me again wonder if people know or care what words mean. Heyman said an agreement was close, and then people said, no, there is no agreement. Well, nobody said there was an agreement. It said it's close, you know. There's an article on The Athletic by Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellich that, you know, they've done some good reporting in the last few months, especially on the Astros stuff, and they definitely have connections. I'm not totally convinced that they know what all the words mean. I'll read you a segment. First, they quote Rob Manfred's statement saying, "We left that meeting with a jointly developed framework that we agreed could form the basis of an agreement and subject to conversations with our respective constituents. I summarized that framework numerous times in the meeting and sent Tony a written summary. Consistent with our conversations yesterday, I am encouraging the clubs to move forward, and I trust Tony is doing the same." And then the next paragraph, written by Rosenthal and or Drellich, says, "A union official, however, disagreed with any suggestion that even a tentative agreement had been struck." But there was no suggestion that a tentative agreement had been struck. What Manfred said was they had formed the basis of an agreement, a framework that they agreed could be the basis of an agreement. And those are different things. A framework is good. The progress that was made was MLB is apparently willing to pay the full prorated salary. Obviously, it depends on how many games, and the union is going to come back and push for more games. But it's clear that they did make progress. And for me, the big question is, like we said on one of the last week's episodes, maybe 2 weeks ago even, why did it take this long for Manfred and Tony Clark to talk face-to-face? I don't understand how you are trying to negotiate with somebody without having a freaking conversation with them.
Yeah, I mean, they'll use everything that's going on as the reason for that and what, you know, why. But at least those two could have gotten a room and they could be far apart, but they could still hear each other. So,
or on Zoom. You know, even a face-to-face, you can, you and I talk on Zoom.
Well, I have seen players say there's been Zoom stuff. I don't know if that's, but
not between Manfred and Clark, I don't think. Yeah, like, I don't think they've had a conversation.
Yeah, that I don't know. But either way, yeah, talking it out definitely helps. You know, I, at this point, it's a lot of posturing from both sides. So, we're going to keep talking about all this stuff as it comes through. But at the end of the day, you know, they kind of really know what's real and what's not. But yeah, it looks like we're going to get baseball. It looks like it's going to be at least 60 games. There'll be expanded playoffs. There'll be, looks like, DHing this year and possibly next year. We'll talk about that in the next part. But yeah, everything seems to be a go as long as the real world cooperates and they can figure out, hammer out all the other details. There's a lot of things they're going to have to go through. I was talking with someone earlier today about even like service time. I don't know if that's already been talked about or how they're going to handle it or if there's even enough days to even make that matter. I don't think so because usually they call up guys after April anyways. But a lot of different things that they got to work out. But it looks like we're going to have baseball in 2020 now. And it looks a lot better than it did even just yesterday.
Yeah, I know that service time was one of the big things they talked about in their March agreement. And so maybe all of that stuff's been hammered out and we just need to hear the details. But yeah, I expect that they will eventually settle on somewhere between 65 and 70 games. You know, I assume the union will come back, counter this 60 game thing saying 75 or 80, and then they'll meet in the middle. And maybe that's where some compromise on deferrals will come in. Maybe they'll, defer that extra 10 games of salary over the next year or two or whatever, if they need to. But yeah, it does seem like this crazy idea of actually talking to the people you're negotiating with might actually bear some fruit. I'm not thrilled about the 16-team playoffs. I feel like any system where more than half the teams make the postseason is not my ideal. I don't mind it for this year, I understand. My concern is that they're going to like that extra postseason money and want to keep doing that. And 8 teams per league is much more than would be my ideal scenario.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Like I said, for this year, pretty much anything goes at this point. But like I said, similar to the DH and now with expanded playoffs, might be something that they take a liking to and try to get that, especially with the new CBA after the 2021 season. So we'll see where it goes, but for now we can be positive and optimistic because even we were losing some of that in recent days.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a better day, and I still think Manfred and Clark are both pretty bad at their jobs, but maybe they can accidentally back into something positive.
Yep. All right. We're going to talk about the DH, but first let's talk about rockauto.com. You know, there's a lot of different makes and models this time. There's a lot of people that are maybe trying to do some work on their cars on their own. And why would you want to go to a traditional store where the price tiers are different for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers? You can go to rockauto.com and the prices are the same for everybody and they're very low. Rockauto.com has been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you basically need, even down to new carpet. Whether if you're just getting a piece for a quick fix or you're overhauling or building from the ground up, RockAuto.com's catalog is unique and easy to navigate, and you can find everything you need. If you go to RockAuto.com and they ask, "How did you hear about us?" you let them know Locked On sent you, and that's all you got to do. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Today's episode also brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. I told you guys the other day, but I'll tell you again, for me to order protein bars, that takes a lot. I've never done that before. I've never even bought protein bars. And I bought a box the other day after I ran out of our sample box, and I bought a box of peanut butter banana. It's very great tasting and has everything you need with great flavor, low sugar, low calorie, high protein, high fiber. All the bars are covered in chocolate. They got a bunch of different flavors. If peanut butter and banana is not your taste, they're soft and easy to chew. And like I said, they taste great. And right now you can go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, $10 off, builtbar.com, and keep it locked on, Dodgers. All right, Jeff, so let's get down into the obscure former Dodger. Today's one, I posted a Yasiel Puig video for work, and basically saying when baseball's back, we need somebody to sign Puig. And then a couple weeks ago was the anniversary of Puig's debut. And in the video, you can hear Vin Scully announcing who got the win in that game after Puig threw out the runner at first base to end the game. And that guy was Stephen Fife. Stephen Fife, that was his first career win in the major leagues that day. And yeah, he's definitely an obscure former Dodger. He came up with the, or he was originally with the Red Sox. He came over along with Tim Fedorovich in a three-team trade that the Dodgers sent Trayvon Robinson to the Mariners. He was called up in 2012 to make a spot start. Had a couple other starts, I believe, that year. And then made a few more spot starts in 2013. Made it one more start in 2014. And then after that went on, he had Tommy John, and then he went on with a couple more teams, never really caught on anywhere. He played in Japan, came back in 2018, tried to play with the Indians, but that was the end of his career. So he only played with the Dodgers in the major leagues. Cool thing about Stephen Fife, he was on Idaho's first ever team that made the Little League World Series in 1999. So that's probably the coolest thing about him, other than he was a major league player and he played for the Dodgers and he was the winning pitcher in Yasiel Puig's debut.
Yeah. He also went to the University of Utah, which is the rivals of my alma mater, BYU. He was going to be, I'm still working on setting up the trivia games for that we're going to do with some of our listeners. And one of my questions that I'm scrapping after this episode, or maybe it'll be a test to see if people actually listen to our show, was going to be what pitcher got his first career win in Yasiel Puig's major league debut. It was going to be one of the easy questions because I think a lot of people were watching that video recently. Stephen Fife was kind of a flash in the pan a little bit. He pitched really well. I know on June 30th of that year, he had 7 shutout innings. August 4th, he had 5 1/3 shutout innings. He was actually really showed some promise for a long time that year. And then, yeah, just never totally worked out.
All right, Jeff, let's talk about the DH. Yesterday, Brian at Elephant Party asked or said that he heard that there might be Universal DH in 2021. We hadn't yet heard that, but maybe that radio broadcast he was listening to had a scoop
or was from the future.
Yeah, because and like I said earlier in today's the framework or the agreement, whatever you want to call it, they're talking about having a DH in 2021 as well. So Brian asked us, you know, what we think about the Universal DH, and do you think it cheapens the way the game is played in the NL? We've talked about this a little bit before, but Jeff, I know you said you had some other points you wanted to make on this, so let's get into it.
Yeah, so I grew up a Dodger fan. I grew up a National League fan. Deep in my gut, I still consider National League baseball real baseball and American League baseball not real baseball. But when I actually look at it using my brain instead of my gut, I've decided that I am in favor of the Universal DH, and the reason is because basically the opposite of what the question asks. I don't think it cheapens it. You know, what people always talk about is the added strategy, how it's easier to manage in the American League because you don't have to think about double switches and pinch hitting and stuff like that. And for me, what it boils down to is two things. One, is when I pay money to watch baseball, I want to be paying to watch people do things that they are the best in the world at. And pitchers hitting is not that thing. And the second thing is the strategy. All of the bits of strategy that having a pitcher hitting adds all boil down to making the game worse. It's like, okay, pitcher's coming up. Do we have him sacrifice bunt? Well, what's another way of saying that? Should I get out on purpose? The pitcher spot's coming up. I want to change pitchers, but the pitcher's due up second next inning, so I'm going to double switch. Translation, I'm going to put a guy in who wasn't good enough to start the game because I need to change pitchers. A pitcher's throwing a shutout through seven innings and his spot's coming up. But it's a nothing game or a 1-0 game or something. And the manager has to decide, do I let my pitcher hit so he can keep pitching, or do I pinch hit for him so that we have a better chance of scoring runs? Which means you're choosing between a good hitter and a good pitcher. Whereas if you have a DH, you have people who are good at the thing that they are hired to do, then you don't have to make those decisions. And yes, maybe it does take away a little bit of strategy, although I think that's overblown, but it makes the game better. It makes it more entertaining because people are doing the things they're good at.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a sport where people want to see people doing what they're not good at, you know. And I think the closest thing really is free throws, and that's because everyone gets free throws. So, you know, obviously we didn't want to watch Shaq shoot free throws back in the day for the most part. And I guess that was really the only comparison I could think of. You know, you don't put your punter at quarterback. You know, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see a goalie playing forward in soccer or whatever it is. So, and the other part of it is just because that's how it started doesn't mean that was the right way. I mean, we've seen a lot of things improve over time, and baseball is one of them that can improve over time because of that. Like you said, it's, at least for me, like, you know, watching the pitchers hit it, it's more gimmicky than anything. So when you know, someone gets a hit or a pitcher hits a home run or whatever it is, it's entertaining, I guess, in that sense that it feels like kind of gimmicky, like, you know, it's not supposed to happen and it happens. So it's fun. And Rich Hill specifically, he was actually kind of fun to watch just because how bad he was and how awkward it looked. But I'm not, you know, tied to, oh, it cheapens the game. I'm not tied to, oh, you know, we're changing whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, some things just started wrong and, you know, can be rectified later on as time goes on. And I think this is one of those where, you know, it's going to be, especially with, you know, all the strikeouts and everything else, you don't want to see another pitcher come up and strike out. You know, on the flip side, Dodgers pitchers might hurt a little more because of this, because obviously they're going to have to face a real position player. But in terms of the Dodgers side, for the most part, you know, they've had the most depth. They benefit probably the most from this because they get a good extra bat in the lineup, you know, not just somebody, or at least for the next 2 years specifically, you know. And then after that, they can go after some of these guys who are sluggers but maybe can't play the field. And, you know, it just expands the type of players they can go after if it goes beyond this point. So for me, you know, I'm completely fine with the DH, and I probably won't really miss watching pitchers bat.
Yeah, some of the other common arguments, people say, well, if pitchers would just put more focus on hitting, they would be better hitters. And it might be true that they could be better hitters than they currently are, but it is absolutely not true that pitchers would ever be good hitters. There have been a total of like 4 pitchers in history who had any significant number of at-bats and were even average compared to the rest of the league. You know, the big poster boy for good hitting pitchers these days is Madison Bumgarner. Bumgarner, in his 11-year career, 10 years really, 2009, he only had 2 plate appearances. So in his 10 years in the big leagues, he has been above average exactly 1 time. That was in 2014. He had a 113 OPS plus, so he was 13% better than the average major league hitter that year. Every other year, he's been really bad. His career OPS plus is 46, which means he is 54% worse than the average hitter, which includes catchers who can't hit. And, you know, and that the other point I've heard people say is, well, it's a slippery slope. If you just, why not just have nine guys playing defense and nine different guys hitting? And for me, what it boils down to is, it's a different skill set. It's an entirely different skill set. Guys who are good at defense have a lot of the same skills that make them potentially good hitters. There's definitely some guys who are good at defense and never hit enough to make the big leagues, and that's fine. But the skills are close enough and complementary skills. But being able to throw a baseball 100 miles an hour is nothing like being able to hit a baseball that's thrown 100 miles an hour. And so if you tried to only have pitchers who could hit, you would have a lot fewer good pitchers, because you'd have, you know, guys like Russell Martin who can hit and can kind of pitch, and you'd make them the pitchers. But if you want the best pitchers in the world, you should stop expecting them to hit, because it's totally different skill sets and it's never going to happen.
Yeah, and especially these days, you know, early on, there's a lot of guys that become POs, pitcher only, from a young age, you know, from 12, 13, high school freshman and on. So to all of a sudden never hit throughout high school and college and then be expected to try to hit when you get to the major leagues is just unfair. And, you know, like, the other part is, you know, I don't want to see pitchers bunnying 100 mile an hour fastballs, like, or 95 mile an hour fastballs. So for me, yeah, I'm completely fine with getting universal DH. I don't have any issue with it. And those that do, I'll just ask you to reevaluate and think about why you really want it. And if it's nothing more than that's how it's always been, or your, you know, tradition of the game or whatever, maybe find something a little bit better than that.
Yeah. The other thing people talk about is the fun of watching Rich Hill run the bases. And those people have a different definition of fun than I do. Because for me, watching Rich Hill run is excruciating. And people point to the one game. What year was that? Was that in 2017?
When he ran all over.
Yeah. And what people forget about that play is that, A, he was out at the plate, and B, he was representing, like, the tying run, and there was a good hitter coming up. And so, like, he literally cost the team a chance at winning the game with his base running. I don't know. Like, there are plenty of things. You know me. I'm anti-fun, as you've called me. Really, I'm just anti-fun. I'm anti-funny on the baseball field. I don't mind when funny things happen. I just don't. I don't think we need to force them to happen. And so if I want to watch somebody run funny, I have YouTube. I have friends. There's that episode where Phoebe runs funny. I can watch that all day long. I don't need to watch Rich Hill run funny. If I want to see a fat guy do something poorly, I can look in the mirror. I don't need Bartolo Colon for that. There's so many things I can do poorly. I don't need to see Bartolo Colon swinging a bat or trying to run or anything else. I want to see people do the things they are really, really good at when I'm paying money to watch sport. So go DH. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I think we share that thought. And, you know, if you guys want to let us know your thoughts, go ahead. Or if you have a convincing argument the other way.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners disagree with us, and I would love to hear their thoughts. But if it's something we already talked about and refuted, you better come with something we missed.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Jeff, you got anything else before we head out?
No, I'm hopeful that now that progress is being made, we really are on a short timeline. And so I hope that the union and the owners feel the time crunch and feel the urgency that we, the fans, feel. And hopefully tomorrow we'll have some actual good news to share.
Yeah. Hopeful for that. And hopeful at least everything gets wrapped up by this weekend. That way, you know, we can get that timeline started. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to subscribe and download and listen every day. We'll be back tomorrow with hopefully that good news. But if not, you know, we're here to entertain you with something Dodgers and or baseball related. If you want to help us out beyond subscribing, you can also rate and review us on iTunes or if your favorite podcast app has ratings and reviews. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. Other ways to reach us are calling or texting 323-863-LOCK or email lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
And now tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye.